Very important part of our vision. But let me share with you the Apostle Paul's prayer. He prays this several times, asks for prayer. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping yourself alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mysteries of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. Other places he prays that a wide door for effective service will be opened up. And I just want to say, as your pastor, as your brother in Christ, that is my prayer for our church in Lake County. That a wide door for effective service, a wide door for the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, to go out in this place. I appreciate that it was already mentioned for Man Day that it would only be today, maybe one out of 19 men in our county would be in a church of any kind today. And here's the core of the core of the core. We need to bring the love of Jesus Christ to every corner of this place. But it's got to start with every corner of this place. And that's one I want to share. I'll wrap that up in a bit before we have communion. So we're going to start. Janelle, come on up. Or there we are. There's the team.
Good morning. So I'm Janelle Bridges. For some of you that don't know me, I'm their children's ministry director. So I take care of infants through sixth grade and help every class have everything that they need. So it's a big job, but it's not very seen as often as you might notice. But anyway, some of our team this last week was able to go on a conference trip, and we had a blast just getting to know each other more and learning more about God and growing closer to Him. And our vision for children's ministries has always been to know, grow, and show our kids in children's ministries what it means to have a love for Christ, to get to know Him more. And you can do that even when you work in the nursery. You can show Jesus how much they love, how much He loves them in the nursery. And you can show them how to grow and teach them in the nursery, in the Sunday school classes and the children's church classes that we have for both first and second service. So this morning I brought up my team because I wanted you to hear from each of them a little bit about something that they learned and can bring back to their areas of ministry within the church, something that they have as a vision. You can see our shirts this morning say, we can do more together, and that was our theme this week. Just showing that as we grow together and we learn to do things together as a church and a community, we can do a lot more impact in our churches, in our kids, in our kids' lives. And the conference was called the Orange Conference. And what that means is that the home represents red, which is the love of your family. And then the church represents the Christ, which is the yellow. And when you put red and yellow together, it makes orange. And so talking about working with our families and the churches, two impacts together can make a better, greater impact than just separate influences. So if we can try to help share that vision this morning, just to show you what we learned and something that we can bring back, I'm going to give each one of you just a couple sentences to tell you what we learned. I guess you can pop up a picture we have up here too. So this is also the Orange Conference that we were at. This has over 8,000 people that were there, and this was just for kids from infants through high school. It was really, really cool for all of us to see that there was so many worshiping and praising God and all there for the same purpose and the same reason, and I think it made a great impact on all of us, so that was really neat. What's the next picture? Yeah, so this is just, it's far away, but it was kind of hard to zoom in when you're 8,000 people in there. but another lady that was singing up front, and it was just really neat to hear a lot of different speakers. I believe there were about 40 different speakers, so we had a whole bunch of different breakout groups, and we had just a great time of worship each evening when we all came together. So we split up into different breakout groups to get the most information that we could. And it was a lot of information. Our brains are on overload, right? So we're all going to meet together and talk about different things that we've learned. But this morning, I'm going to introduce to you Carissa. She is one of our preschool teachers. She's been doing it for over 3 years and very consistent and been a great friend of mine. I appreciate her a lot. So I wanted to ask Carissa, what is something that you got from conference that you want to bring back for your area of ministry in preschool?
So like Janelle said, there was 8,000 people at this conference. It was pretty inspirational, pretty amazing. So that just kind of made my heart a little bit more excited, I guess you could say, to come back with these preschoolers. My sister and I are the teachers for Preschool First Service. And I think that some people think maybe it's not as important for the little ones. It's just playtime. But it's a little bit more than that, you guys, and I'm really excited about this new curriculum that we're going to be bringing in, and it's going to involve the parents a little bit more, which will be super awesome, and I'm looking forward to this new page for our preschool class, and I hope all of the parents are looking forward to it, too. You'll be getting more information soon. So, yeah, that's basically it, just lots of information. I have, like, pages and pages and pages of notes to go through on my phone and on paper, so haven't gotten there yet, but I'm going to process that soon, and yeah, I'm just excited for this new chapter for our preschool class.
Thank you. Carissa has a heart for little kids, and I could see it the first time I asked them to volunteer. I was like, you guys have to stay. It's so good.
Okay.
This is my sister, Jocelyn. She is a substitute teacher in a lot of different places. She likes to help with the little kids, too, so she will help sub in kindergarten and preschool. And I'm going to ask you, what is something that you wanted to bring back to the church that you decided stuck out in your mind that you really caught as a something that you'd like to bring to attention?
Well, one of the breakout sessions that I went to was called Why Relationships Matter Within the Church. And I really thought that was important, that we should be building relationships with everyone, the new people, people who've been here for years, parents, children, adults, and so on. You know, if we can just be a lending hand, open arms, a place for them to come and talk to, because, you know, they might not have that person, of like, otherwise in their life. And that can lead us ultimately to our Lord and Savior if we have a relationship with them and everyone in the church. And also working together within that area will also really help our church to thrive.
Thank you. This is my friend Isha. She's very helpful around the church. She helps me look around all different areas when I'm not here, and she is very helpful. She's timid and shy, so if you can come up and get to know her, she's a great person. She helps work in the nursery and toddler rooms most of the weeks, and I wanted to ask you, what is something that you brought back from conference that you would like to kind of bring it to your area of ministry?
Okay, so one thing that I brought back was I realized that I know because I have kids, but toddlers and babies really absorb a lot. Even if we don't understand or know, they really absorb everything you're taking in, even though they can't express it to you. So I've learned that always talking to God, always having conversations with him, bring in more color, you know, reading books, worshiping as much as you can. So I'm thinking about maybe getting a CD player in the toddler room, or at one of the classes, this lady's church, she has like 7 toddlers, and they do a worship, just like the big church. Every Sunday, they get in a circle and they do worship. So I think that's really awesome, just constantly talking about God and building that trust. They see me every week, they can trust me. Mm-hmm. I have a couple babies that trust me and come to me every week. Yeah, that's about it. And there was 26 different countries there, you guys. This was a huge conference. Yeah. 26 different countries is amazing. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is my mom, Judy. She helps substitute in a lot of different classes, and I appreciate her last minute calls a lot. So she does a lot of stuff. She's actually working in children's church once a month as well, so you might see her a little more often in there. But what is something that you found from this conference that you'd like to bring back and use in your areas of ministry as well?
Well, one of the things that seemed to be woven throughout the entire session or conference was kindness. And it might seem like a simple concept, but are we really showing authentic kindness, not only to the children that we teach and the parents that we serve, but are we being authentic regardless of what they have on, what their race is, what their language is, and just really checking our attitudes and our spirit so that we can really show the love of God. We can do more together was the theme. We can do more together when we're of one accord and one voice, showing the love of God. And it just seems to be something that as a community of Christians, we want to bring that common unity out into the community here in Kelseyville and Lake County. We need to show the love of Christ even more. And one of my favorite verses is in Romans, and it's Paul saying, "It's your kindness, O Lord, that leads us to repentance. No matter what we do, you love us, and it draws us to you." That's a little paraphrased. But it's one that I've always thought was, will draw others to him. And we need to make sure that we're being authentic. It could be as simple as a smile, but really being interested in the lives that we are working with, from the youngest all the way through to the oldest. Thank you.
So thank you. That was our whole team, and we just wanted to say thanks again. I'm going to have Paul come up in a minute.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going there. So my goal this morning in a very short amount of time is to give you just a window, just a glance into what it's like at youth group. So hold on to your seats, people. It's going to be crazy. Actually, I just wanted to give you just an idea of some of the programs, some of the awesome things that have been going on, both up to this point and then what's going on moving forward. Early this year, we launched 3 new youth programs. And be like, Paul, what is wrong with you? I don't know. I can't figure it out. But here they are. We launched a Serve You program. Some of you have seen some of our students serving in our children's ministry. We had the honor of having Timothy Ritz and John Vanderwall passing out bulletins and other things here in service. We've got a few people in the nursery and toddler room. We've got people everywhere on this campus learning how to serve. And what's been really cool about that is to see as our seniors are getting ready to graduate this year, some of them saying, I can't wait to find a new church where I'm going to college so that I could serve in the youth group there. And so just seeing them kind of understand that we're teaching them service so that they can go and be part of the kingdom wherever it is that they're at. And let me tell you, I always tell our students, one of the first things you need to do when you go to college, find a church and sign up to serve. Because sometimes it is tough to get out of bed on Sunday mornings, especially when you're at school and you're, of course, studying really late at night and then have to get up early for church in the morning. So ServeU has been really cool. Again, if you see our students in service, please be an encouragement to them there. Another thing that we launched was a home group, a youth home group that's been taking place at our house Thursday nights. And we've welcomed, you know, roughly 10 different students into our home to do just raw scripture study. We've been reading through Acts, and we answer the same four questions every week about the passages that we've read. And we're actually wrapping that up. This next Thursday is our last one of the season, and then we'll hopefully start that again in the fall. But exciting stuff going on there as we dive into God's Word. It's a no-frills thing. It is God's Word, answer the questions, pray, and go to see students faithfully showing up to that as well. And then many of you know we've announced it many times, the 40 days program that we've done. I've already began to write next year's 40 days program, as this was something very exciting for us. As a youth ministry, we've gotten some great feedback on just the high structure, the curriculum, the devotions, seeing the students take this seriously. And we get to reward them, those who finished the entire 40 days devotional program and got all their booklets signed off for scripture memory and everything, are going with me this next Saturday to Six Flags to celebrate what God did during that time. So very exciting stuff there. Another thing, sorry, I'm just going to keep going here because there's a lot and we got to get through it quick. Interns, an intern program. We've had the honor of having Paul Conway here with us for nearly two years this month, right? And I'll tell you what, I love intern programs because it means I have to do less work. But I also love intern programs because you're really investing in someone's future. And we're going to talk more about that in coming weeks as Paul's getting ready to transition to a new place of ministry. But it's exciting to see that he's going somewhere else. Well, we've got other people saying, hey, I want in. And so to be part of their development and their process as well is very exciting. Each Wednesday during lunch, I have the honor to be on the Kelseyville High School campus for campus ministry. And one of our underlying themes this year has been bringing Christ into your conversation. Or really just, you know, he's been a taboo topic on their school campuses. It's almost like you can't mention anything spiritual without someone going, wrong, don't talk about that, I'm supposed to shut you up now. You know, all these things. And so just bringing him into your everyday conversations. And so we're doing something interesting. This next week we're doing something called a soul survey. And this is where we pass out hundreds of surveys all across the campus asking, who is God to you? If your friend invited you to church, would you go with them? If God answered one of your prayers today, what would it be? And we're going to receive those back. And, of course, you have to bribe them with ice cream or something. But we'll get all that information. Our hope is to get the temperature of our campuses spiritually and be able to use that information to better reach the students that we have ahead of us here. It's summertime, so we got lots of stuff going on. I want to encourage you, keep looking at your bulletins and what's going on there. We have graduation coming up in 2 weeks for our refuge students, so eighth graders graduating the high school, seniors graduating on to college. We'll be celebrating them in a couple weeks on Wednesday. We've got our summer camp, The Great Escape. Pastor Gary mentioned it. It's in some information in your bulletin. We'll have an insert in the bulletin next week, so stay tuned for more information on that. Refuge is going to the roller rink, which is exciting. And then we're doing a new event this year called Goose Chase. We're not actually chasing geese, so don't freak out. We are actually, it's a game that centers around different tasks and completing different tasks within a car. So you have a car of about five or six people, and we'll say, go take a picture with a stranger. Go do a conga line in the grocery store. And so we'll be doing that later this summer as well. Every other year we do an event called the Resolutions Banquet. And this is an exciting time because it encourages our young men and women to take and own their faith. That it's theirs now, it's not their parents, that they've reached a point in their life where they need to own what's going on in their life spiritually. That it's not the reminders of parents, it's them saying, I'm going to get into God's Word, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the one to wake up and go to church on Sunday. And this banquet that we do is commemorating a time in their life where they're saying, I want to be responsible for my faith. I want to own it. It needs to be mine. And last year we did swords and plaques for the guys, and we did necklaces for the gals to help them remember what's going on there. That's open to going to be sophomores through seniors at Refuge. And then, of course, we got to go back to something light after something heavy like that. Neon Dodgeball, we've done it for 2 years now. It's been a really fun event. We dress up in all our neon garb, and we hang black lights, and we play fancy music, and we throw balls at each other. There, you just got the whole event in a 30-second snapshot. But what's been really cool about this is it's been a great connecting point between campuses and our campus. So schools in here, we're able to get over 150 students here onto our campus. And during the middle, it's not super spiritual. It's not a bait and switch. In the middle, I just say, hey, I'm Pastor Paul. I'm here to take care of you. We love you guys. We hope you join us on Wednesday. And we see, you know, students after this event begin to check out our youth ministry. And so exciting things are coming from that. One of the things, you know, these are all events and these are all programs and they're exciting and they're fun. But what it boils down to for me is, what's working? What's happening? Where's the fruit? What's going on? And so it's been exciting over really the first third of this year and then moving forward to think about what God is doing in the lives of our students. And so we've got new people coming to campus that are joining our youth program, which is crazy to me because these are kids that some people in our community would go, they're going to church? And I go, yeah. They're showing up. It's great. We'll take them. We're glad to have them. Have a piece of pizza. And so it's great to see new people join us on campus. But it's also great to see those that are continually coming who are faithful grow in their faith, taking steps, one step closer to Christ, one step closer to the cross. And so we've seen that taking place as well. God is calling different students to take all sorts of different steps. You know, he meets us where we're at, and he wants to move us forward. And so some of the steps we've seen some of our students take is baptism. Some of them are choosing, hey, I want to be baptized. It's that time of my life. I'm just ready to make this decision. Two of our students have felt the calling, or some say the nudge. I call it like the beat over the head with a 2x4, calling to vocational ministry, which I don't take lightly at all. That's a huge thing. That's how God, you know, got a hold of my heart in high school. As he said, I've got a plan for you. And so just diving into that with two of our young men as they're saying, I don't know what this means, but I'm on board. And walking through and giving them opportunities to teach and learn and grow through that. Other students, it's just this 40 days thing really spurred in them to take their quiet time seriously, to understand that that's not just something we say we're supposed to do, but it's something we're actually supposed to do, to pray seriously, understanding that our requests are heard by someone who could actually do something about them. And then last one, this is something that was I heard multiple times just this last Wednesday, was making God a priority. Not just when it's convenient, not just when it feels right, not just at church, but saying, God, in my entire life, wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing, God, I want to make you a priority. So thank you for letting me share with you guys a little bit. We've got exciting things coming on. You want to know more information, come talk to me. It's my turn to pass it off to Pastor Jason to talk about adult ministries.
That's awesome. Thank you, Paul. A little crowd participation. What do you see? Yarn. What else do you see? Come on. Color, right? All right. Maybe this, the label, right? Right. Some information on the label. This is Carla's example. She gave me this one. If you know my wife, you know she's the smarter of the two of us. She used this example, and she's like, you know what? That's right. We see the raw ingredients. We see the raw materials. Funny enough, she looked at this when she said it. She said, but you know what? Jesus sees the sweater, the blanket, the fake Yeezys your grandma's going to make for you and stick under the Christmas tree. If you don't know what Yeezys are, ask a youth. They'll tell you. But adult ministry, I want to make sure that you're working in the Spirit and your potential is being reached, right? It's great to smile and praise God for all the things that's happening with children and in youth. I get that way when I see y'all getting involved. Whether you're involved with the children and the youth, or maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's Hands of Grace, which has started. Man, if you want to help out the homeless in our community, get in touch with the folks with Hands of Grace. Did you know the vision for adult ministry is everyone's got one in one? Because you know what? I'm going to move past the whole everybody show up to church every week. Yeah, duh. But everyone's got one in one. Small group where you can be held accountable, where you can gain strength from friendship and people in maybe very unique ways, and that everybody has a ministry. Everybody is serving. Yes, 100%. That's my goal. You know, having a goal to cross the street safely 80% of the time is not okay. I want every single last one of you to be involved in a small group in a ministry in some form or fashion. And it's unique for every single person. I'd love for everybody to help out in children's ministry. We got big needs there. But I'm not going to squeeze all of you into that cookie cutter. What's the Lord calling you to? Those of you in the back corner back there, what's the Lord calling you to? Right? Just so you know what's been going on around here at Grace, last year we had two services where we had more than 200 people sitting in here. You want to guess what they were? Christmas and Easter. Guess how many we've had this year so far already? I want to say four. I could probably guess that there's been a fifth already this year. The Lord's moving in very unique ways here at Grace Church. And it's not just with numbers. It's about depth too. There's real discipleship happening. There's real discipleship happening between the people that are sitting here and in the next service and in their small groups. If you're not pouring into someone or someone's not pouring into you, you're missing out. Get involved with someone. Pull a cup aside. How can I be praying for you throughout the school year? They're all coming back. They're all going to start flooding back here in just an hour because they're still sleeping. We've had marriage boosters go on. We've had Operation Christmas Child happen. Remember that? We've had people become baptized after 50, 60 years of life. Hey, if that's you, if you need to be baptized, please let me know. Let's do that, man. I want to celebrate that. What's currently going on? Well, we've got another Sunday school that's going to be firing up that just goes on and on and on and on and on. As well as Sunday school class for parents with young children. We've got marriages happening, counseling taking place. We're helping in the blessing and in the struggle. We've got a counseling ministry that's going to start in September. Hopefully you got to see Carla with that and start to kick that ministry off after the summer's over. What's more encouraging is we've got new faces getting involved, right? We've been back for about 2 years, and it was kind of interesting to see all the same faces were the ones involved. But now we're starting to see a whole crop of new faces become involved. Like, who is that guy running so? Well, you know what? Maybe you should go and introduce yourself. Let me encourage you to introduce yourself to someone. Find out what they do around here. Some of the couple of things that we're going to be doing here in the very near future. Disaster relief, you know, that's kind of my heartbeat. Carla and I go to Norway for 2 weeks, 6 days. But then I come back and I immediately turn around. I'm going to Corpus Christi just to kind of check it out to see if that's the organization I want to help us form some disaster relief with. We'll be doing some local stuff too by preparing for fire season, for sifting ash and that sort of thing. And I hope that you're going to be on board. I really do. I'm really hoping that the 30s and 40s that are sitting in here, talking directly to you, it's your time. It's your time. Get involved. Do more. Be involved in one-on-one. Okay? We want to see your faith involved in some way, shape, or form. If you haven't noticed, we've got a new women's ministry team. They pulled together that Mosaic Conference last week, week before that. I've forgotten which. Calendar's gone. 108 ladies here on Friday night. 108. That's amazing. Amazing. Guys, our men's ministry team is starting to form, but I could use your help. I need some leaders. Okay? I need some men to rise up and care about the spiritual well-being of the men at our church. I've been told that I'm a man. I have been told that I think like one, and we men tend to think, okay, we got a problem we got to fix. That's when we get together. Men, we got a problem to fix. Spiritual health of our men in this church can always use repair. Guys, you've always got that thing in that garage that always needs repair, right? You can do it. You can come be a part. I'm going to wrap up because we got, you know, so much more good stuff to do. The last thing I want to share with you is that we're going to start a class for those, because we're not ignorant. We know there's probably some of you who've just started your relationship with Jesus. There might some of you in here that are just skeptical. You don't even believe in Jesus yet. We're going to start a class for y'all. How do we? I'm here. So now what? Kind of class. We're going to be doing events throughout the summer called Staycation. Very low entrance way to invite your friends and neighbors to. Hey, I'm going to go hike Mount Conocti. Hey, I'm going out to Anderson Marsh. Hey, we're going to go out to the RC cars in Lakeport across from the movies. Why don't you come along? It's a great way to invite non-church people. Because you know what? The Lord is moving. He's moving in very dramatic ways. And I want to invite someone up to give you just a minute and a half how the Lord has been working in this person's life in a dramatic, dramatic way. Suzanne Walpole.
Morning. Okay. I was a real mess about three years ago and was very much an introvert because of an abusive relationship that I was in. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6-8, I, the Lord, does not change. Jesus has been faithful to me and has taken care of me and provided for me. This is a new concept that I'm beginning to understand. My experience with the abusive relationship had been one of selfishness. But you and God have showed me something else. God has showed me his love, his grace, and compassion through you. He has answered prayer through you. He has met all my physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. I am still getting used to this, and it's sinking in a little bit at a time. Now I am more open and more in tune with other people's needs instead of my own. I can say hi to people without having an anxiety attack. I mean, I am standing here right now talking to you, which would have been inconceivable a few months ago. With God's help, I was even able to teach a breakout session at the Women's Mosaic Conference. Thank you for your acceptance of me and being patient with me for the way I was when I first started at Grace. The difference God has made in my life since has been like night and day.
Thank you, Suzanne. See how easy that was? All right. We say each Sunday morning, we're here to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Where does that come from? Well, from the beginning of Scriptures and the beginning of the nation of Israel, those are the words of the Lord. In the Old Testament, there are 613 laws. 248 of them are positive and 365 more on the negative side, stuff to stay away from. They're always arguing about which ones are the most important. Well, the most important is, also, there is one Lord, one God, and thou shalt love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's not a new concept. Jesus was approached, this was the last week of his life, and he was in front of the temple. And there were two groups of people, one called Pharisees, the other group called Sadducees. The Pharisees were legalistic scholars. The Sadducees were more political scholars, and they ran the nation of Israel. And they were always arguing with what was more important. And so one of them asked Jesus, so what's the most important thing? He says, well, it is this, there is one Lord, one God, and thou shalt love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and that's where life is. And the guy goes, you're right. And Jesus says, and you're really close to the kingdom. Friends, we don't want to be close to the kingdom. We want to be in the kingdom. And so we're trying to make it where the love we have for God is not some nebulous love. If you walked into a house, let's just say that you walked into a house that was like an open house, and you walked in and you say, I hate the carpets, but I love the granite. I love all the light, but I hate the size of the room. So it's hate, love, hate. And ultimately this, we minimize those things, and what God is telling us this, as a church, we need to love him. It's got to start right here. And everything around us will try to pull us away from that. Pull us away from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's what we offer to people, because it also says we're supposed to love people as ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm very judgmental. Somebody's in front of me at Safeway and they have 12 gallons of vodka. I'm thinking, wow, they're going to either have a really big party or they got a real problem. And I'm thinking that, and instead of thinking, wow, I sure hope that they get delivered, I sure hope they know Jesus. And part of it is this, is making sure that as a church we have the compassionate heart for Jesus. That's why we do children's ministry and youth ministry. And as adults, it's the one-on-one, is making sure that we're in a small group and we're learning and growing. Years ago, there was a Shah, and he was in India, and his wife died. And he was so brokenhearted, he decided he was going to build this temple around her. It's called the Taj Mahal. And so he gets her coffin, he covers it with wood, and puts it in this massive building site, and weeks turned into months, months turned into years, and ultimately his mourning of his loss of his wife turned into a devotion to building this massive temple. To the point where he was walking through the building site and he tripped over this piece of wood and he told the people, let's get all this junk out of here. They threw out his wife's coffin. He had forgotten the reason for building the stupid thing. And I have to tell you, there's sometimes I show up on Sunday and I have to snap out of it. I'm here because of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's why he's brought this communion table. That's why this table of remembrance is so important. Because we sometimes trip over the coffin of Jesus, who is just a memory, and he can't be just a memory. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's our friend. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King and I'm not. And I have to shake myself out of the fog. And when I come on Sundays, not just on Sunday, but when I show up on Sunday, we're here to worship him. And people, I want people in Lake County, and not only there, but around the world, to know that Jesus, I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is with us, no matter what man may say. That's the hope we bring. That's our vision. It's a very simple vision. We're going to be a church that loves Jesus. And we're going to love people. Here's joy. Love Jesus. Love others. Love yourself. Joy. I'd like to invite the men to come as we share around this table of communion. The table of remembrance. That's why we're here. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He rose again. He's coming again. He's coming back. And what he wants us to do is to receive him as Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we go now to this table of remembrance. Help us, Lord, to be a church that never forgets that it's all about you. It's not about us. Not what we want or not. It's about what your will is, that we may love you and love the people around us with the gospel of Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Place where mercy reigns.
Let's never forget what Jesus has done for us. We'll just do this in remembrance of him. And Jesus would take a cup representing the shed blood for our sins. I think the problem of Lake County is the same problem you have. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Different avenues of that sin and the fruit of that sin and manifestations of it are found by dysfunction, brokenness, weird behavior, evil. So we all bring that. We lay it at the foot of the cross. And the only hope we have is the fact that Jesus Christ, he shed his blood for us. He paid the price for our foolishness and our sin. So as you hold on to that, you're no better than the person, any other person in the world, but you are, as you hold on to the fact that you are a precious child of God, as you take advantage of the fact that he has set you free based upon his sacrifice for you. As you're holding on to this cup, I would like you this day to re-envision your own life, that you would walk in a manner worthy of what that cup represents. God so loved you that he gave his only son.
I'm in awe.
Let's not be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He is the King. We're not. He's died on the cross for us. He's suffered and sacrificed for us. What a joy it is to be His child. Let us do this in remembrance of Him. Amen. Encourage on the way out. We'll have a benevolence offering for those in our church and others with special financial needs. Also encourage you, those who can, make your way up to the play area. We're going to cut the ribbon. We're going to ring around it. We're going to pray over it. And we're going to rejoice. All right? So let's stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, take us from this place as a vision to bring the love of Christ, the light of Christ, to every corner of our life, and then every corner of this county in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Head on up the hill.
Go get your kids first.
Well, they may be up there.